Okay. Everyone's weird except the me. Oh, even these are bit strange.
So we've also been entitled to this particular poll. We propose to designate certain courts. That's where that comes from. Clause 1 is there were no changes to that. That's really just an amendment to the index of the principal acts. Clause 2, there were a number of proposals, and these proposals arose out of the comments that were received. We'll take you through them. Clause 2 is the insertion of a new section 55A in the Principal Act, and it deals with the designation of sexual offences courts. And if I go through them as they arise, subclause 1 provides that subject to subsection 2, the Minister may, by notice in the Gazette, designate any division of the High Court, and then what we inserted was, or the main seat or any local seat of a division, or a magistrate's court as defined in Section 1 of the Superior Courts Act, as the Sexual Offences Court, exclusively rather than dedicated for the purposes of the trial of any person or other proceedings arising out of, and then what is new is A, the original wording, we've divided it up into two subsections now, arising out of A, an alleged commission of a sexual offence in terms of the common law, any offence in terms of the Sexual Offences Act of 1957, or any offence in terms of this act being the principal act, or any act or omission which constitutes an offence in terms of any other law which has a bearing on sexual offences, as the Director of Public Prosecutions having jurisdiction may in writing authorise. The first amendment, or the first insertion in subsection 1, gives you the proposal, I think it was by the NPA, to recognise that that the Minister might not want to designate a whole division and might only be the main seat or a local seat where it is necessary. The committee seemed to buy into that proposal. The second amendment, we deleted the word dedicated. It was suggested that the word dedicated should not be used, as it is uncertain. There is uncertainty as to what it means, and it is used in different contexts. And rather to put the word, to insert the word exclusively, which we did. Then the new paragraph B comes as a result of a number of commentators' suggestions that these courts shouldn't be restricted purely to the common sexual offences common law, the 1957 Act and the 2007 Act, the Principal Act, that there might be other cases where, or other offences that have a bearing on sexual offences, and where it might be appropriate for these matters to be dealt with in sexual offences courts, particularly where witnesses would be vulnerable. So paragraph B is something new. Should I go through until I've stopped? And the Forms and Publication Act. Subclause 2. Chair, let me read what it originally read. The Minister must exercise the power provided for in subsection 1 was originally in consultation with the National Director of Public Prosecutions, the Chief Justice, head of the court in question, and the judge president, who is responsible for the coordination of judicial functions of the magistrate's court falling within his or her area of jurisdiction. The question arose, and I think it came from the NPA, why must the Minister do this in consultation? And I hope we have our mandate correct here. The committee, I think, was persuaded that it must be after consultation. And the question was also raised, why must the Minister do this in consultation with Chief Justice? That's the background to the amendments. Chair, a proposal, and this is really an option more than what the committee decided, is to insert the wording, taking the Minister must take into account the provisions of Section 21C and 8 of this area, sections 21C and 8. I can just get to them. C of the Superior Courts Act provides that one of the objects of the Superior Courts Act is to make provision for the administration of the judicial functions of all courts, including governance issues over which the Chief Justice exercises responsibility. And Section 8 sort of gives flesh to that object, deals with the judicial management of judicial functions. And why the bill originally said that the minister or proposed that the minister should exercise this power of designation in consultation with these functionaries and the Chief Justice, in respect of which the question arose, is that there should be consensus in this area to ensure that all the logistics are in place. It's no good having courts designated where there isn't consensus on these issues and all the logistics and agreements are not in place. So we are a bit, we've given effect to what the committee, we thought the committee had decided on, is after consultation with the NDPP, the Chief Justice and the heads of court. An option for consideration is to include and recognise the provisions of Section 21C and 8 of the Superior Courts Act, although this might not be necessary because it is already law.
I think that is something we should maybe reconsider. I mean, I know we did have discussions and we had concerns regarding... The thing is, what we really had concerns was that would this perhaps NPA, for example, might just refuse to say, well, sorry, you're not prepared to implement the decision to create a specific court for that area, and then they can just stymie the whole operation of the issue. But I do think the Chief Justice should be... I think there should be in consultation with the Chief Justice. So perhaps what we could consider is the Minister in consultation with the Chief Justice and after consultation with the NDPP. Something like that. Because I mean, the Chief Justice is now legally responsible for the administration of all the courts. So I think it also deserves his power in the Minister.
Anyone else on this point?
Yes, I did want to ask him that whether this provision is... that section has been contradicted, the provisions that have been stated, section 21B and 8 of 2013, before the day after the special decision. So I agree with David that we should formulate it in such a manner that it doesn't give practical effect to that provision. This is a good name of the district.
Thank you, Chair. So then we would have made it along the lines if the Minister were exercising the power to do it in consultation with the Chief Justice and after the consultation with his
plan. On the issue of the magistrates, of course, is it correct that 8.4c says that the judge president is responsible for the magistrates? Of course, we were also aware of the Chief Magistrate tonight, but I presume that that is what that section says, that the judge president
subject to subsections 2 and 3, the judge president of the division is also responsible for the coordination of the judicial functions of all magistrates or supporting within the jurisdiction of that division. Alright. And then subclause 3 deals with jurisdiction, and it did originally say subject to subsection 4, the area of jurisdiction of the court designated in terms of subsection 1 is the area of jurisdiction determined in terms of section 2 of the Magistrates Courts Act with respect to the Magistrates Court, or in terms of section 6(3) of the Superior Courts Act in respect to the division of the High Court. And I think it was a regional court or acting regional court magistrate in his comments, Mr. Harris indicated that we should recognise that there are other provisions on the statute book that also regulate jurisdiction. So it reads now subject to subsection 4 or any other law regulating jurisdiction of a court, the area of jurisdiction is. And the committee, I have got a sense for that.
I'm
Subclause 4 also relates to ministers' powers. Similar to Subclause 2, Subclause 4 deals with the increasing or decreasing the area of jurisdiction of the court. Again, we have proposed taking into account the provisions of Section 2(c) and 8. Maybe it should also be amended in the manner that we discussed in respect of Subclause 2, where it would be
surgery in and after. Sub-2 will not change.
Yes.
To the in-consultation session justice.
Yes, we would have to amend sub-clause 4 conceptually in motion 9 and sub-clause 2.
Well, we'll leave you to do that. I trust that it reflects our wishes.
Okay. Proposed amendments to sub-clause 5. And then there were some proposals that was from Issa campaign. Yes, which occasioned the insertion of a new clause, which is new clause 3, and it's a proposal to amend section 66 on the principal act. Section 66 deals with national instructions and directives which are required to be issued and published by his or her role-playing departments in order to facilitate the implementation and application of the Act. It requires at present, for instance, that the National Commissioner of SAPS, the NDPP and the DG Health must issue and publish national instructions in respect of all matters which are reasonably necessary or expedient to be provided for and which must be followed by all officials in their respective organisations when carrying out their powers, duties and functions in terms of the principal act. And Bishop Vermeer campaign said if the minister, justice minister, is going to designate sexual offences courts, that should be catered for in the national instructions and national instructions and directives, and that was supported by the NPA, particularly as far as the NPA is concerned. So what this amendment is about, the crux of the amendment in paragraph A is the amendment of subsection 1, paragraph A of subsection 1 of section 66, which requires the National Commission of SAS to issue and publish national instructions. And it is a new paragraph 7 that would be inserted in that paragraph A, which would read, the National Commissioner of SAPS must, in consultation with the other role-playing ministers, issue and publish national instructions, including the following. The manner in which peace officials must carry out their responsibilities and duties in relation to sexual offences courts designated in terms of section 55A and any regulations made in terms of section 67.1D. So that is what is...
beginning of this amendment, not the Minister of Safety and Security, the Minister of
superior again. In all these paragraphs, you claim to the minister this taking security to the minister. There is a new subsection D, or is a subsection D that's proposed in clause 3. This proposes the insertion of a new subsection 3A into the principal acts, also in line with the comments of the recent campaign, in terms of which the Director General of Social Justice, Social Development, for the first time is given the obligation to issue and publish national directives which have a bearing on officials in the social development environment carry out their functions in terms of directives that the Director General might issue. The wording, the introductory wording is the same as in the case of the NDP and the National Commission on SAPS, but it's a totally new provision. I'm not too sure why the DT in social development have got this duty when the Act was first put on the statute, but it is there now, and it requires the DT social development to issue directives regarding all matters which are reasonably necessary or expedient to provide internals that be followed by officials in similar manner as the other provisions. And also focuses on sexual offences. The wording there is with particular reference to the responsibilities and duties of these persons being social development officials in relation to sexual offences, of course, designated in terms of sexual offences by a in terms of such as 01D. Paragraph D, of course, is also a new amendment as a main section of subsection 4, paragraph A, subsection 4 of the Principal Act. And the Principal Act originally read the national instructions and directives by each of the principal institutions motivated in this section must be submitted to Parliament in 6 months after the commencement of this section before publication in the Gazette. The committee indicated when we discussed this provision that first manual instructions and directives arising out of these amendments must be done within 6 months as well after the commencement of the proceedings. So the visa has been inserted to the following effect. Provided that the first manual instructions and directives giving effect to section 3 and the criminal law, sexual offences and related matters, then within 6 months after the amendments have been made in terms of section 67.1d. So we used our mandate, but we would like to suggest that rather than having those directives or requiring those directives to be made 6 months after this amendment coming into operation, rather than have them made within 6 months after the regulations have been made, because I am sure the regulations will also have a bearing on the national instructions of states.
What are they going to do in the meantime? If they have a break? The Act's going to come into operation. 6 months later, the regulations come. Only 6 months after that, the director. So how is this going to operate in that minimum of a year in between? I've had some experience on the police committee, and they're going to come in there with, well, we can't do anything about this act now because we haven't got directives. And before we do the directives, we can't implement the act. And it's, I know.
The 2010 moment.
they are prosecuting cases.
Yes.
Yeah. What we're doing now is introducing daily basis. The courts at the moment are continuing to operate.
Yes.
The police continue to do their work of investigating and prosecuting. This is to improve the situation,
yeah.
Not to replace anything.
Yeah.
So I appreciate Honourable Safety's concerns, and they are real, but it doesn't mean there's nothing happening. We just need to monitor them or speak to your colleague on the Peace Committee to say there must be no laxity at all. To say, well, we're waiting in such, and therefore we're monitoring.
We could put that in our
report, just to say we need to monitor that. So that there, but I think that it is existing framework for them to operate already.
Question. Are all these role players, are they aware of what we are seized with at this moment? And we don't want to find a situation where when the president appends his signature, somebody just says, okay, this is the first time I'm hearing of this, and so,
that's a question that I was going to raise as well. We actually alerted, when we reported back, that this is a proposal that has come at a late stage, and we have mentioned that these ministers have not been consulted on this. So that is something that this didn't come from the department, this came from the ministry of health. So they are not aware of it. We have in fact drafted letters in the event of this going ahead to alert those role players that this might be a possibility.
I think letters should go out specifically to the DGs. Certainly, of course, to the people who are here. So they want to do that to but the directors are going to come to the DGs and do this to them. They should
I have got letters here that are ready to go out. So that was another concern that we did have, but getting back to the point of the chef, I think Mr. Swart is correct to say that the focus here is on the designation of these courts. The fine tuning of all those implications that come to that stage, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world.
She'd obviously like this act to be implemented as quickly as possible. But we find a simple memorandum that does indicate the financial implications, and it says the sexual offenders courts will only be designated once the necessary funding has been acquired to put in place the specified infrastructure, court personnel have been appointed, and the trained and professional multidisciplinary services for victims are available. So we also need to monitor that in court, because that seems to indicate to me that this is going to be quite a process. Now the benefit of that is that you can consult to the minister, but the downside is that there's this, from a public's perspective and from our perspective, one wants these courts implemented as quickly as possible. So, but the memorandum goes on to say some of the courts which were previously established as sexual offenders court have some infrastructure in place, basic capacity to deal with sex offenders. They seem to have existing courts that will continue, but if you look at when this act comes into operation, on a date to be fixed by the President in the Gazette, that date could be at any time in the future, bearing in mind that one needs to set the infrastructure and everything. So do we, in our report, indicate that there is a degree of urgency with this, and that we would like to see this put into operation as quickly as possible, considering the need to address vulnerable victims and the whole aspect of the courts, particularly in mind of what we say here in the memorandum to the bill on financial implications, which seems to be quite broad about necessary funding, and we know the department's funding constraints. Maybe the department can give us an indication of how they see a timeline for this. I don't want to put you on the spot, but just bearing in mind the twin aspects, firstly the aspect of consulting other ministers, which could cause a delay, but secondly, the need that we would like to see this implemented as quickly as possible. Thank you, Chair.
I'm not really in a position, I'm sorry, my colleague from Vulnerable Group is not here because they're really driving this process and they have the budgetary information. So it's a bit difficult for me to respond to that.
I think Mr. Swartz, I understand Mr. Bassett's difficulty. My looking at this is that it's going to be done incrementally, step by step. That being the case, I'm very hard to say it's going to cost exactly so much and it will take the next 18 months when in fact we know that it's probably going to take much longer, but very difficult to ascertain how long.
So my understanding is that there are some people that will be able to get in those borders immediately because the infrastructure is there. I could ask my colleague to be here tomorrow. I know that he's sitting and
I don't know if he should perish in the language. First is Shaker and then Mr. Swan.
Budget information is available in the Tarkin report, and it costs something like $50 million per year, and only $20 million being allocated to for the financial year. So it's very unlikely that it's going to actually happen for the 22 ports that have been supposedly identified to be designated this year. But it is in the Tarkin report to the minister. I just want to confirm that we will then put that in the report. I mean, the point is about an earlier point about the directors. I mean, why then do we need to even have directors at all if they are currently functioning perfectly fine? And in a way, I sometimes think that we impose things that are just back for people to find loopholes not to do the job where they're actually doing it perfectly fine. So it's not necessary why I'm putting it in there. But I would like to at least mention, if we are going to leave it there, that it should in no way be used to, as an excuse not to continue the implementation of the court, then to find a way somehow. I'm sure the National Commissioner has the authority to issue directives anyway regarding any aspect of
That was the department's response to this provision in the first place. All these DGs have a wide power to make directives on any matter reasonably expedient. That's the wording that was used in the principal act at the moment. So the department did initially question the need to be so specific on these directives and actually instructions. The only role player that wouldn't take we weren't releasing the only role player that possibly should be inserted as the DG Social Development who doesn't have any responsibility in the first place. So that was the department's sense as well on these directives. There are, this committee could possibly even request to keep those provisions out and support, request those.
Health may have things to do with preservation of evidence for rape cases and so on, and how to take samples and that kind of stuff, and HIV testing and treatment and things like that. But perhaps we should look at, I mean, I don't see why we need to put something in that's already paid for, because it's just providing for a possible loophole. So, well, we haven't got the directives yet because the regulations have yet been passed, whereas the commissioner has that power in any case. But I do think there is merit in having the social development perhaps inserted here, included.
If they aren't, if they don't have powers at the moment. Mr. Holmes, and then Mr. Swartz, again? Yes, that is when this will be, where the contained statement is, where the entity will be presented. So we might have to wait for a few to head back to the area. So but where we would have, I think that because they have identified that loopholes remind, then they may be the one that's going to be the people. who were not able to do that in the first time. But now they have a site that they can be opening up other people to do this thing. Let us wait and see what the future is going to be. Now that the ideas to be done.
If that is agreed to by committee members as possible, then the same of those students that you can teach is on behalf of the committee of the school that we are taking responsibility for 7 days.
Slightly longer given that next week and just the week after will be all taken up with the budget and the ORs and annual reports, maybe a week and a half, because I mean it is quite substantive.
Victims of sexual offences and persons referred to in subparagraph
to those of your judicial, the courts, the people that work in the courts. So that's double underlining those words and double underlining are an addition for the committee's consideration. Before I go to sub-clause 2, Chair, maybe I should just explain further what has been done in sub-clause 1. The MPA also raised the question here, why must the Minister make regulations in consultation with the Chief Justice, and it was suggested that the paragraph B should be included in paragraph A. So that is what these amendments are about. The Minister may, after consultation with the role-playing ministers, make regulations regarding all these issues, and paragraph D is what I have just read. Bearing in mind the queries raised by the some of the committee members last time about the role of the Chief Justice, why must it be done in consultation with the Chief Justice? Sub-clause 2 has been inserted for consideration, but I think we have dealt with it in our earlier discussion this morning. Sub-clause 2 provides that any regulation made in terms of subsection 1, which has a bearing on the administration of the judicial functions of the courts, including governance issues, must be made taking into account the provisions of sections 21C and 8 of the Superior Courts Act. So I would appreciate guidance. Sub-clause 2 might not be necessary anymore. If we revert to the original clause as it was published in the Gazette, where you have paragraph A and a paragraph B, where the Minister makes regulations in consultation or after consultation with his cabinet colleagues, and then the second category is where he makes regulations in consultation with the Chief Justice relating to the designation of courts. I would appreciate the Minister having this thing.
First point before I get to that is, I just think the question that you put in the, what was B, with particular reference among others, and that just doesn't make sense. So it should be with particular reference to, or among others, you can't have both. But I do think that any regulations that have a bearing on the administration of the courts at all should be done by the Chief Justice. So there must at least be a consultation with the jury. No, what I mean in consultation with the Chief Justice, regarding, if there's anything regarding, obviously you can't be consulted regarding prosecutors and stuff, but I mean as far as court stuff is concerned, the Chief Justice is now in control of the administration of the court. So it's a bit mixed up there.
Have you seen the original draft, Mr. Chair? That's a question Mr. Bassett is saying. Should we...
Correct.
Yes, should we not go back?
Say in consultation?
Yes. That's what the original draft says.
No, but what I'm saying is that... Yes, I agree with that, you should, but I don't think all those aspects should be in consultation with the Chief Justice, but for example, prosecution.
Well, the original says, in consultation with the Chief Justice, make any regulations necessary to give effect to a designation of courts referred to in section 55A, sub 1. Yes.
But what about prosecutors? Because there is also probably a necessity to include the prosecutors.
Where?
Somewhere. Is there not?
Yes, it's in the first part, after consultation with the cabinet and the NDPP. All right.
All right, then
I
think you should go ahead.
Is that okay? Have you seen the original draft?
Yes, no, I think that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we answered the second question regarding the retention of the foods. I think in light of us agreeing that this must be done in consultation with the system, then there's no need for that particular support.
So we retain the original?
No, the economy is that we remove. That's why that this must be done, taking into account the provisions of the Constitution of the Constitution. So the idea behind that is to ensure that the role of the subsector is protected. So in other words, maybe And they are mentioning the material is there from
Yes. That was two and you did it too.
And they're saying the original formulation is this line.
The original book?
Yeah.
Just to make sure I have it correctly, when you say we go back to the original, and then are we going to take out those words and align the particular reference to infrastructure? And
yes.
So it'll end all the efficient and effective functioning thereof.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And two come out.
And two original things. I'm looking at the original part. Okay. Good. So, first five.
Chair is, there was also a proposal that was from the acting regional magistrate Holland, so that the preamble of the principal act should be amended to recognise the sexual offences court, and the committee agreed that rather than put detail like that in a preamble, the long title of the principal act could be amended by just including a further bullet in the long title to recognise these courts, and the committee agreed to the wording designated certain courts where necessary to deal with matters relating to sexual offences. The introductory wording to in the long title is to comprehensively and extensively review and amend all aspects of the laws and the implementation of the laws related to sexual offences and to deal with all legal aspects of relating to sexual offences in a single statute by designating certain courts where necessary to deal with matters relating to sexual offences. And their last provision is the short title and commencement, and that's already been touched on today. It goes into operation on a date fixed by the President by confirmation.
Is there any way that we could find another way of, instead of an amendment, because it's going to cause you can imagine the speech of law, remembering that you can put amendment act next to each other. Can I not place some further amendment act for? Because I appreciate the previous act comprehensively, but we can amend the first amendment act. But I just think to say amendment act is very unwieldy, but I don't know what would have worked in the other.
Yes, are we going to have a situation where you have to do
that? Yeah, I'll take that up with the Lord, but as I said, the confusion is already there. My supervisor asked me whether I'm on with my head.
The point made by Mr. Swift is very valid. Yes. So, all right.
I'm putting it further.
Yeah, but then we come with a bit.
The only distinction is the date, but I just was.
I think any further, if you do have any others, it would be the same, it would just be the date for the year.
I would say most further. Further, most further.
Or should perhaps give them numbers. Second amendment, third amendment. Yes, all amendments. That may be a way, Mr. Bassett.
Can I have a look at that?
Yeah.
Can't give a date, Chair.
No, a date for the implementation.
There's a lot of things you have to think in, but it's not a way of constitutional.
I've done it in the past. We did it with Charles Justice. We met the deadline, but most of us were half dead by this
time. But for that one, we didn't give it to you. You don't think so?
No, I'm just
wondering,
I don't think so, because there are a lot of logistics that have to happen before they can actually,
analytically
review it.
Well, we've got some books that are already up and
running. As you said, Mr. Scott, it's not about everything was come to a grinding halt. Sexual offences are being prosecuted. You've got to be arrested. Well, okay, let's just understand. Yeah.
There's the object memo that we adapted in line with what is in the book at the moment. I think some of those issues will have to be rearranged and adapted in line with discussions here, and then also the future course 3 would be dependent on.
Since the consultation is happening in your memorandum, did they? By consultation, when you mentioned about the ministry, you hadn't consulted others to get quickly, but maybe something to look at as well.
See, this is a committee called the Mutant.
Yes.
I don't know whether it's with a difference in.
Those are logical.
The letters Mr. Bassett will send out will serve as part of that consultation process. The DGs will be made aware of certain obligations in regards to Mr. Bassett.
Chair, just on when we discussed that aspect a few minutes ago, I sort of lost sight of the fact that the committee, but I wonder whether those letters shouldn't come from the committee.
I can adopt it for us and I'll just sign it.
They are ready.
Portfolio Committee on Justice, as opposed to the Minister. Other boards would have the Minister
and you then as agreed to by the portfolio, you know, you have set portfolio.
Well, yeah, that's something that's a
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Can we have the chairman's name on the back?
All right. So for now, that's this one. For now.
When are we looking to finance?
Well, that's in your hands. As far as the ANC is concerned, we have done the necessary consultations. I'm not sure that you would have.
We have obviously predict that they put the national health as quickly as possible, and if they don't want to comment, then we just delete their clause and we find out.
No, don't delete it. Just leave it.
We'll leave it.
Yes. I don't know how to delete it.
Yeah.
I don't know, we impose it on them.
We just finalize this in the next 2 weeks.
Even sooner. Even sooner. Yeah. All right. Yes. So we're just waiting for that comment.
Okay, so 1 4. Oh, there we go. Two.
So that's where we are. And three of that. Thank you, Chair. And the documents were circulated, if I remember correctly, and they were tabled at a meeting, can't remember the date, and the committee requested for time to consider the amendments in the bill before they vote on it. I did take the committee through the bill, through the changes. Thank you. Paul. The original bill had a paragraph Thank you. see terms in which the generalist generalist and informed applicants will be searched in writing. suggests the inclusion of the relevant division seems to subject to the in terms of section.
Have any impact on what we're doing, sure.
the discussion of the committee of 10 September, the precise insertion of the capital letters and shaded, and the proposed deletion of water shaded but in a different font. There aren't really many proposed amendments. Throughout the bill, the wording regarding demographic will change. This one is on page 3 of the bill. The order of the wording in the interpretation is not broadly representative of the demographic of South Africa. This change is not throughout the bill. And then the next one is on page 30. This relates to clause 23, establishment of regional council. Option be inserted to provide that there must be a regional or provincial council in every form. A transitional status could be seen as the council possibly not immediately be able to establish all nine until it is implemented. The department has the opinion that the regional council may must establish at least 3 or 4 regional councils sufficiently large to implement the establishment, and this is Council must, subject to subsection 2, establish a provincial council in every province of the Republic and may delegate to the provincial council such powers and functions which in the interest of the legal profession are better performed at the regional level. Subclause 2a, the council must, at the commencement of chapter 2, establish at least 4 provincial councils at the location of the board as mentioned in 13.6 of the attendance. Following factors must be taken into account. There may not be more than one provincial council in the province, the location of the seats of the regions of the High Court, the efficient assignment of council objects, environmental resources, policy improvements, and feasibility, the interest of legal practitioners and candidate legal practitioners, regional members' interest and sensitivity, and the interest of the public. Under which provincial council that province falls.
Now, what does it mean now? Thank you. Chapter 9 of the Second Art and Human Art Commission is inserted. for the Commando and we can also insert a definition at the beginning of the ball, but it's not used that many times in that. September, the committee requested this further proviso to align this aspect with clause 8. It relates to the offences, and then it's just that provision that the person may be replaced by the designating body pending his or her suspension.
Joined us now, they have other responsibilities that we have to go back to. Very kindly get away from wherever they are and join us here. Me, I don't want to abuse that.
But we have it, but we don't have to.
A judicial matter?
Thank you.
understand it well. Do you want to trust it and place it for you? It's not like sexual offenses where they have to get nothing special or anything.
As I am, that we aren't going to get anywhere on the legal practice bill, and this is terribly, terribly serious. There's one thing at least we can try to do, all of us, for South Africa, and that is to address the last of the legal. Now, what we have so far, and I asked you to your reference, is we have the two options on inquiry. One is the department, and one is by, but I can't remember what the court reference is. Doesn't adhere, no charges for the proof to the client, for example. And our attorneys already have a short that you love to put some expert input from people like Diane and Wilma and Lawrence. And I ask you to consider that. Let's at least do that for her. That's a legal possibility. It's fundamentally under my
desirable standing in the legislation, and rather than kind of combination of alternatives where that's the entire thing that we're talking about, whether they are in fact beyond reach.
Thank you. could I just ask the ANC's view that the legal provisions are guilty of abuse of power in not coming to agreement with ANC in government, as the case may be, on its proposals. So I think that is an outrageous statement with respect. The goal with the legal practice bill was always to effect fusion by stealth, if you wish. Now you're suggesting the two professions, which are separate, should have participated in their own destruction or be accused of an abuse of their power. I mean, it was quite clearly the intention to shut down the existing formation, but only when this bill finally came to us that we said there is no way anybody has any right to shut down the voluntaries. That is all the councils of the bar and the LSSA. Nobody has any right to shut them down, which was exactly what the bill intended to do. And for the rest, the intention was fusion by stealth, which remains the intention. We are not in favour of fusion. We will go on defending the rights of the professions to exercise their independence. They form part and parcel of the independence of the judiciary in this country. They are all officers of court, and I think it is an unfair suggestion to say that they were practicing an abuse of power in defending what quite rightly are seen as their rights.
If my own comment is regarding this particular matter. Well, I can only agree that necessarily it was in the ANC working. In my own view, that's it. The legal sector was a profession. Yes, indeed, in chemistry. Even at the time when we have engaged in that, we found differences among the various commissions. Within the legal system, within the ranks of attorney, and also at times within the ranks of philosophy. And really, at the end of the day, we as a parliament must look at the interests of the people who are the consumers of the services of the legal system. It's well and good for us also to look at the interests of the citizens, because they are using their fees and forces and so on, bringing the service to the nation, but at the same time, that is an impact on the justice that should come for people to have to survive in such crisis. So clearly, therefore, there has to be some adjustment here and there in terms of the manner in which all our electors have been operating before 1994. It cannot just be a question of due service, but yes, indeed, we have to try to transform the government. We have to there being a practical manifestation of that transformation. So the minister therefore must have this kind of power, especially in this initial stage, to determine whether or not the country is indeed acting in a manner that is going to achieve the goal. That was the minister. Hopefully in the course of time, it won't be necessary for the minister to get involved when conviction that the matter is already in the government.
So I just want to repeat the concerns about the executive powers expressed by former Chief Justice Arthur Chaskerson, who goes through in his speech the ministerial powers and concludes by saying the members of the executive have significant power to control important aspects of the function of the legal profession. He says there is no reason to believe that these powers will be abused, but that is not the point. You do not know what might happen in the future. And he indicates that a structure is being proposed which opens the door to important aspects of the profession being controlled by the executive, and that is inconsistent with an independent legal profession. Now, I think that is the basis of our concerns, and that is why it's very important when one looks at all the different aspects together to what degree the minister can intervene in the legal profession, in an independent legal profession, which is unlike the medical profession, a very important aspect of the independence of the judiciary in South Africa. The Jai have expressed these views before, and they haven't found favour with the majority party, but I do want to just reiterate them and see to what degree, and I'm sure you agree that we need to, if the majority party insists on the dissolution clause, which was inserted at a very late stage, and I'm not sure if it was even inserted before the bill served before the cabinet, but that is a separate issue, but that we need to ensure that it is exercised in a manner where there is a form of judicial oversight. And I think that the present formulation of various options is an inquiry by judge, but there's no requirement by the minister to adhere to the recommendation of the judge. If one's going to go that way, one needs to at the very least oblige the minister to accept the recommendations of that independent inquiry into the possible dysfunction of the council. Surely if you're going to have that safeguard, it means nothing if the minister can ignore. If you put it into law, and we as legislators are obliged, if we're going to put a check and balance in place, it must be effective. And if you're saying an independent inquiry must take place where there is an allegation that the council is not operating, then it must, should bind the minister. It cannot be that he can ignore the findings of that and then still appoint dissolved council and appoint an interim council of his own appointments. And I think, Chair, those are aspects that I think we can do well to deliberate on further and ensure that the concerns of former Chief Justice Chaskerson are borne in mind when one considers the independence of the legal profession, weighing that against the interests of the consumers. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair, the dissolution clause is a particular concern, I think, because effectively, I agree that the minister needs that some power if the provisions don't cooperate. There's got to be some kind of solution to, so I mean, we've imposed a number of obligations in the bill as prime minister, which they have to comply. Now, if they don't comply, then surely the minister can give it by the court to force them to comply. And I really think this provision specifically is a fundamental undermining of the independence of the profession to allow a minister to dissolve, even if they are not safeguarded, and ultimately his decision to dissolve an entire council and to appoint 7 people of his own choosing to effectively put in place the whole system for the future of the government of the profession. I really do see that problem. And I would urge the MPG to reconsider on that particular issue especially.
Yes, Mr. Manuel has very kindly quickly drafted a report on the judicial matters. Do we just put the report in the committee? Can we offer those plans and then it's okay. All right. Sorry to do this to all of you. We're going to do judicial matters right now. And do you want me to do it clause by clause on the members, or can we accept it as...
It's fine.
It's fine? Can someone move to that effect? Yes. Mr. Swart moves, seconded by...
I just have a question regarding the question for the five. The movement or the one move.
Having considered the subject matter of the judicial matters, so it's 76 million. 76 million.
Alright. So it came as a 75 million.
Yeah. Alright. So the headline should read 76 as well.
So when does that happen?
Then report of the portfolio committee. moving that as well, Mr. Swart. Swart, seconded by Mr. Holmes. Yes, subject to that meeting. Thank you very much, Bishop.
Thank you
very much.
Our machine can only make, I've made some for the department officials, and I've asked her to make more hard copies for the members, but I'm also going to email, but I'm also email to the committee members.
Yes, because I'm really, like,
Thank you.